Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Psalms. The 49th is a wisdom psalm. The subject is death and life in clear view of it. A powerful work of poetic verse, elegant and sagacious, simple yet profound. The psalm is introduced as a riddle. The sons of Korah are back, and they begin at verse 1. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp, I will expound my riddle. So it's a poetic riddle. Intriguing. Hobbits, leprechauns, and other riddle lovers, prepare your wits. Now, this is not your typical Bible riddle, like how much would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck was on Noah's Ark? 40 days of chucking planks overboard, and that's one dangerous woodchuck. No, this riddle is meant to make you think, and it begins at verse 5. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? So there you have it. Why should I fear? Seems like plenty of reasons are given. Evil days, wicked deceivers, they're dangerous. And surrounded by them, watch out. Corruption, extortion, all of it spells hard times for me and you. But the psalmists challenge us. Why should I fear? And they offer a hint in verse 6, a little insight to the character of these deceivers. Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. Pay attention here. Beneath the surface of these deceivers is a reliance, a trust in wealth as their strength and savior. Why should I fear a nasty, threatening bunch of liars when their foundation rests on something so unstable and fleeting as wealth? But hold on, all that wealth can buy a lot of power. Seems like reason enough to fear. That reminds me, why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. Sorry, dad joke, force of habit. But verses 7, 8, and 9 remind us why not to be afraid, and why all that wealth shouldn't scare you. Read with me. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay. All that wealth and power can't keep you out of the grave, and it won't help you beyond it. Death is the great equalizer. Imagine the negotiations here. The rich man sitting across the table from God. I tell you what, Mr. Almighty Sir, I'm going to write down a number on this paper and slide it over to you. All I ask is immortality, and that money is yours. No. Wealth is no match for death. But don't miss the words. This riddle comes with hints. Redeem means buy back, and ransom is a payment to rescue someone. Yet God's word makes it clear. No payment is ever enough. Life cannot be bought. For evidence, verse 10. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. All can see. The answer to this riddle is not hiding. No trickery or surprise catch at the end of life. We all know death is coming. And we know that all the wealth stays here. All the monopoly money goes back in the box. But for some reason, we still act like we can keep it. In verse 11, their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. It certainly can be an impressive life accomplishment to name a land after yourself. But time passes and man passes. And he does not dwell there. His body is stuck in that little tomb. So I have another riddle for you. Listen carefully. I am the generous thief. I will rob you of all you ever purchased, but learn from me, and you will discover a map to treasures that cannot be bought. Who am I? I am death, of course. Think about it. Death is the great thief. Spend a lifetime collecting, and death takes it all in an instant. And yet, death is a giver, a generous teacher. It is the certainty of death that teaches us to value the short time we have and to enjoy the fleeting moment. our time on earth is valuable because its supply is so limited. Death shows us the vanity of our trinkets and emptiness of our pursuits. It challenges us to let go the temporary and pursue the eternal. Painful lessons, but necessary. Now, don't misunderstand. I do not make light of the pain and grief of losing a friend to death. Yet, in its great irony, death teaches us to value our friends and cherish the time we have with them. Every minute is a gift, a grace. We earned none of it. Our grief for the time lost is mingled with gratitude for the time enjoyed. Death takes life, yet also shows us life's value. Now, death is not the whole lesson. That would be a cruel lesson indeed, one that Ecclesiastes wrestles through powerfully. Yet I do wonder if we would pay attention to any of God's lessons if death were not here to make us listen. See, death teaches us good and proper fear. Rather than fearing the wealthy and wicked, it teaches us to fear God and to value life for the God-given wonder that it is. Yet fear is not the end of the story, because death is not the end. But if we live in denial of death, we will miss all its lessons. The foolish in verse 10 are foolish because they refuse to listen. Death would teach them, if only they would bend their ear. And perhaps the greatest lesson of death is whom we should trust. Look at verse 12. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. Selah. A thought to contemplate indeed. And there's that word again. Trust. The fate of those who trust in themselves. If we could see through you, past all your boasting and blustering, right down to your foundation, to the thing upon which you place all the weight of your very soul, what would we find there? Is it simply yourself? If so, verse 14 is a sobering thought. They are like sheep and destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. Now that verse is haunting. Death will be their shepherd. None to walk you through the valley of its shadow, save for death itself. Then our riddle has a twist. Verse 15. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. And there it is. Curious, it doesn't tell us how God will redeem. Perhaps this is the true riddle to solve. So what are the clues? The psalmist told us quite plainly that the cost of redeeming a life is beyond any of us to pay. But look back again to verses 7, 8, 9. Maybe there is a clue in that old riddle after all. Twice we find the word ransom, a costly ransom, yet no worldly wealth is sufficient. So what could the ransom be to pay God for a life? Whatever it is, verse 15 reveals the one who will pay it. Read carefully. God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. That means that God pays the ransom, like a gift, a grace. So then what's our part? What do we do? More riddle. Any clues for this one? Maybe it's the other repeated word, trust. Those who trust in wealth and trust themselves will have only death for a shepherd. But the psalmist is set apart by just one thing. He trusts God. Peek through the veil to see his soul's foundation, and you will find all his weight set firmly upon God Almighty. He learned death's lesson. Trust God, not self. And the lesson's conclusion comes at verse 16. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and people praise you when you prosper. They will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.